Welcome to another edition of the Growth for Good podcast. I'm Drew Hendry and I'm on the track of business, community groups and organisations who are demonstrating growth for good. This time, I'm chatting with Ian McPhail. He's the founder of IDM Limited and we were even joined by company linchpin Seamus the Dog.
Thanks for the invite, Drew. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think people would really like to know a lot about your business because, well, first of all, you've done a fair bit of media. You do your own media and you've done a few podcasts. This is not your first rodeo as far as podcasts is concerned.
Yeah.
But I think the reason people are interested in you is because your business has grown quite fast and you've managed to find gaps in the market that, you know, were obviously there to be filled and you've been successful in that. So I think people are interested in the story, but I want to know where that comes from. So tell me about your influences, your family, your inspiration, people around you. What's made you the person you are?
What's made me the, and who, I suppose.
And the dogs, even.
And the dog, yeah. It's Seamus kicking around, you know. So I was born and brought up in the Isle of Lewis, and my grandfather initially started his construction business back in the early 70s called Long Island. And then he went and opened a factory making polystyrene boxes for fish, for the fish farms called Polybox. And Dad took over the kind of family construction business. So from a really young age, I've been, you know, in about jobs and kind of, if you're off school, you would end up going in and kind of tagging along. And back in these days, you could, because you were small, you could go under the floor and into the loft and kind of get to the hard reach bits. But
is that the equivalent of going up the chimneys?
Yeah, or down the mines, you know. Yeah. And so my grandma's driving kind of force and my dad's driving force is all about creating opportunities for people so that
the
they
sense
could
of community and
You know, if you're in a position to be able to provide an opportunity whereby somebody's able to have a roof over their over their heads, kind of beds to sleep in, that, you know, and be able to kind of have improved their quality of life and the quality of life for their loved ones. And you know, we have seen that as a kind of duty to be able to empower and enable people to do that, you know. And I suppose that's a kind of one of the real core things behind doing what we do and why I do it, you know, really, which is, it's brilliant.
And coming back to what you're doing now, how did you identify a gap in the market? How did you see a place for you going forward? Was it something you fell into accidentally or was it something you determined to do?
So back in 2020, I was sick of working with people, you know, and I thought, oh, stuff this. I was working in a management role for a company and just totally scunnered with it. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and start on my own, work by myself and not have to deal with anyone. I thought, bliss. But so I started doing the kind of health and safety consultancy stuff, which is good. And then offering a bit of trade support off the back of that. And then the trade element kind of grew and grew. And people that I'd worked with previously had approached and said, right, now that you're on your own, will you come and do this for us? And it's like, I'll be your fail-safe. And that's kind of where it's kind of come from.
Did you see yourself as an entrepreneur?
No. I don't like the word. You know,
did you see yourself as a business person then?
No, just kind of, the way I kind of see it now is I'm somebody that's doing what I really love doing and, you know, being able to bring people on that journey and allowing people to improve their quality of life and that is, it's really kind of, it's really inspiring. Kind of keeps you going and it's, I've not really thought about it. I've not really put myself in that box, you know.
But there must have been something that kind of drew you into it because you've obviously been somebody who, because folk have been in touch, quality of work and so forth, but you've also spotted an opportunity as well.
It took a wee while, you know, and working with so I started in August, by the December I needed help, I needed somebody in to help me, so I took on an apprentice. I needed somebody else in, and then I thought, right, this is getting some traction. I thought, right, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it properly. There's no point in kind of playing at it. So I got in touch with a coach, and I was working with a coach, and then he's been really encouraging and challenging at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was always going to go down the kind of safety route, but safety is important, you know, and it's vital that you have proper safe systems in place. But the trade element's really gotten busy, and, you know, the feedback we're getting from the clients is always really positive. I think the difference there is we listen to what the clients are wanting. And although a lot of the work's business to business, when we go to a lot of the national sites, and it could be, for example, say, the head office puts a job saying we want an extra socket or two socks in the admin office. So you can go in and just batter them in whatever you want, or you can go and you can talk to the staff and say, right, putting a couple of socks in, where would it work best for you?
Because you've won awards already, haven't you?
It's
Business to Business Startup Award. I think it was a GBEA Award.
Yeah.
Tell us, how did that come about, and how did you feel about winning those?
So, yeah, quite surreal, really. especially kind of we Highland based business, you know, we're winning some pretty cool national awards. The first one was the Business to Business Services Startup of the Year, and we were nominated for that. I don't know who put us forward for it. So we filled out the questionnaire, fired that off, and then we picked that one up. Then off the back of that was in 2022. And then off the back of that, we were invited along to apply for the Great British Entrepreneur Awards. So we entered that, and we won Startup Entrepreneur of the Year for Scotland and Northern Ireland in 2022. And then in 2023, we received a highly commended at the Lloyds Bank British Business Excellence Awards for New Business of the Year. And then the Great British Entrepreneur Awards again, won Startup of the Year in 2023. Yeah. And then in 2024, we took home Service Industries Entrepreneur of the Year for Scotland at the Great British Entrepreneur Awards as well.
What do you put that down to? Why are you winning these things?
I think it's because we're just being who we are, if that makes sense. It's not... Like, I remember speaking to somebody and they were saying, oh, how do you get on with the application form? And it's like, you know, it takes us about 3-4 hours to do it. Like, what? We spent 3 weeks on it. How can you spend 3 weeks on it? It's got to be...
got to be just so. It's got to be right.
Yeah, and be who, you know. And I get that. But for us, it's important to just be natural. Mm-hmm. Be who we are. What you see is what you get. You know, and kind of... being transparent with folk and being transparent on the application forms. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in and actually empowering the team. And
so, you know, it sounds from what you're saying that there's a human approach that maybe people don't get across the industry, don't get across the business, that you feel impacts on your success. Would that be right?
Yeah.
You're easy to talk to. I know that because, you know, this isn't the first time I've had a chat with you. You know, I think we spent about an hour or so in our chat. So you think that being approachable, being easy for people to get time with, do you think that's part of the trick?
Yeah, I think that's part of
it. Through your staff as well?
That's one of the things you say to the guys and girls. It's like when you're talking to people, just be yourself. You don't need to kind of pretend to toe this kind of corporate line.
Yeah.
We've got our values, and our values came about through everybody sitting around the table and saying, this is what it means for me to work here. And because everybody selected the values and picked the values, then that's who they are naturally, rather than actually having to kind of conform to this.
Has that removed the fear from your business, do you think? Has it taken that trepidation that others might have away? Because you've got these values so clearly rooted.
I think looking at kind of previous jobs and with different organisations, there's definitely an easiness to kind of being part of the team. That was what we started a guy last week, and he was in. We were having a quick chat earlier on, and he's like, this is really different. I was like, how's that? He says, it's a lot more relaxed. There's no kind of major stress heads or anything. I was like, aye, not yet. Yeah. Just be nice to you.
Wait till there's a rush job on.
But the good thing about that, when the rush jobs and that come in, then everybody's like, right, okay, you don't need to go kind of like...
People know their position and role and what they're doing. So you talked about being this company in the Highlands that won these awards. What's it like, what's it been like for you being based in Inverness, being across the Highlands? Is that been an advantage for you, or is it a what are the ups and downs of being here? Has it been a good thing, or has it held you back? What do you think?
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's held us back, I'd say it's done the opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in, you know, rural communities, the Highlands and Islands in particular. We've got some of the best talent up here because we have to be able to adapt and overcome and resolve issues there and then. Whereas, you know, in the cities and further south, without trying to sound kind of facetious in any way, but they're a bit lazier because they've got the expert, that CRO, somebody who's very, very good in a niche, you know. But that doesn't work all the time. So the first time fix rate for jobs is higher. The quality of the finish is often better. And that's kind of not just saying that because that's what I think about the team. That's the feedback we're getting. You know, we've got clients saying if they phone us to do something, they know all they have to do is pick up the phone, like the problem gets resolved, or they know exactly what's going on and why. I see it as an advantage. A lot of people think it's a disadvantage because it is so far away from everything. I mean, the transport links are great, you know. And we're going down to, you know, you're going down to these awards and you're meeting people. You're meeting some of the kind of companies leading entrepreneurs. You know, some people you never imagined you would have met, you know.
Of course.
And they're like, what's it like up there? You know, how do you make it work? That's what we say. It's like, come on up, we'll stick you in a van with some of the guys for a day or two so you can experience it. And I think we take a lot of inspiration from where we are, from the landscape and, you know, the scenery, the views we get, the fresh air, you know, and everybody comments on that. So, you know, we work in some of the most spectacular scenery in the world and we get to see that every day.
Turning to your philosophy, we talked about the fact that this is a company where people know their roles, they're comfortable in those roles, they're easy, you know, everybody's easy to talk to. You talked about new recruits not feeling the stress they might have seen in other things. What would you say is the business philosophy for IDM?
We have an unofficial motto.
What's the unofficial motto?
Don't be a dick. You know, and that's to your teammates, to the clients, to our suppliers, to everyone. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of like, let people explain. Mm. Let people kind of, you know, explain what they're thinking and why they're thinking that and have that kind of, have a conversation about things rather than that kind of headbutting. And, you know, the industry's plagued with trade arrogance. Yeah. And we've all come across that whereby you'll get somebody in to do something and they're like, nah, this is how we're going to do it. And you ask for, well, no, this is what I'm looking for. Yeah. I would like this. Nah, it can't be done. Rather than going, right, okay, this is what you're wanting. We're going to struggle to do that because of X, Y, Z. However, you've got option A, B, or C. And it's that explaining things to people and being able to... So people make an educated and informed decision rather than something that is easier for you, just for it being easier.
Building on from that, and I think I can guess a few of them, but if you were to say what the core values were that you worked with, what would you say they were?
So we've got six.
So great.
We've got six. So the first one's empower. It's about empowering it and owning it. Then we've got balance. Balanced approach and work, balanced approach to life, and that kind of work-life balance as well. And we've got transparency. It's about being transparent in everything with everyone. We've got innovation. So, you know, it's encouraging people to be innovative and come up with ideas and talk about them.
Try new things. Are you forgiving when something goes wrong?
Yeah, we've got kind of a decision-making framework in place, which kind of incorporates all the values in that as well, and standards, because standards impact everybody all the time. And then trust, you know, because everything has to be founded on trust. So that's kind of the order. I think that's six. Yeah,
I think we got there. I interrupted you in the middle of that. I threw you off a wee bit with that, but I wanted to just ask about that. Because I think in businesses, you know, a lot of businesses talk about wanting to be innovative, but they're not willing to put up with any mistakes happening. And of course, if you're going to be innovative, you've got to try new things. Something's going to be wrong.
That's how you learn.
Exactly. So, yeah. So that's why I was interested to get your confirmation. And that leads me into a really nice question about the lessons you've learned personally in business. What would you, if you could go back in time and speak to the guy who didn't want to be a businessman, definitely didn't want to be an entrepreneur, even though he's an entrepreneur of the year a few number of times, what would you say to Ian?
Back in 2020?
2020, yeah.
Don't do it. I'm joking. I think it would be that kind of self-belief, you know, you have that. You still get that kind of times and days of doubt and are you doing the right thing and you know, and obviously now there's a lot more responsibility because we've got folk there, but at the beginning there was a lot of kind of an awful lot of self doubt and that kind of obviously brings its imposter syndrome type stuff with it and that anxieties and that, and I suppose if I went back in time it would be to say, you know, believe in yourself and believe that you can do it and that it can work. And it's really kind of strange because you always hear these adages, you know, you put in what you get out what you put in, and you know, if you think you can do it, you can. If you don't think you can't do it, you won't do it kind of stuff. And you think, what is this nonsense? But that's really coming through now. And you're kind of going, well, actually, you know, having a positive mindset and having the right people around you definitely helps. People, you're always going to get people that kind of will be unintentionally negative. But a lot of people are like that because they don't want to see you getting hurt or tripped up. And it's always worth listening to what they have to say and kind of pulling that into your decision-making process. But yeah, I think the biggest thing would be that self-belief and kind of you can do it, you know.
And do you think the pace of things and momentum helped you overcome some of that, or do you think, or did you use some techniques early on to try and, did you look for any mentorship or did you read stuff, or what did you do to get over that hump in terms of self-belief early on?
Give myself a kick up the backside. I'm not a great reader, if I'm honest. I've listened to a couple of kind of audiobooks. If I don't like doing something, I'm really bad at procrastinating. Really, really bad at it. I looked at a business coach. So I've worked with Stuart for 3 and a bit, nearly 4 years, and he's been really good. You know, he doesn't tell you what you want to hear. He
tells you what you need to hear.
Yeah, and that kind of good challenging, challenges, challenging you well.
Is that something you'd recommend that other people find?
100%, 100,000%. It gives you. If you're the leader and the founder and you're kind of at the fore of the business, then who are you accountable to? Because if we have to be accountable to ourselves, for all, you know, if we had to rely on being accountable to ourselves all the time, there are times when we'll go, I'm not going to tell myself that. Whereas if you've got somebody like that, then there is that accountability. It helps keep you focused and on track. And if you're having, you're going through one of these periods of doubt and kind of like, what am I doing? Then they're there to kind of remind you, well, actually, remember, let's look back 3 months ago. You said that you wanted to achieve this, this, and this. Where are you with this one? Oh, yeah, we've done that. Well, where are you with it? That's nearly done. Where are you with this one? Oh, we've done that one as well. And it kind of helps you go, actually, I'm doing something right. Something is going the right way. Yeah. So I 100% recommend getting on like that.
You've got some big plans for the business, obviously. You're taking that forward yourself. But you've also got some other visions for the future. Tell me about what you're what the future holds for you and the way you do business and how you help others.
So we've got our kind of our growth plan, which is, it's our mission to Mars, one pyre tapas. And the kind of the thinking behind that is, if you've got a big pie, right, we want to grow to 100 million plus, and remain kind of firmly rooted in the Highlands and Islands, but covering the whole of the UK and further afield. If you've got one big pie and a bit of the pie turns out bad or you know starts to go wrong, then you've got to take out a whole heap of pie and there's a lot of wastage there and gone. Sure. Whereas if we've got, if you have a lot of different tapas dishes and one dish doesn't work out well, pick the thing up and throw it away. One works well, duplicate it, replicate it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, all these different tapas dishes can be seen as the kind of the team and the people and, you know, everybody working together to grow, to expand and to kind of go for global domination, you know. But that's where we're wanting to go. And we're on, we've been really fortunate to get onto the one of the Scale Up Scotland cohort, which has been incredible. And working with, you know, the team at Scale Up and our other peers that are in the same, on the same journey, you know, that kind of peer-to-peer stuff and being able to talk to people, it's it's been just mind-opening. And some of the experts we're getting to meet as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And we've met people relatively recently, and I had my org chart set up for the next kind of 4 to 5 years. I said this to them when we had a one-on-one call, and he says, it's good to have that, but he said, you don't get people to fill your org chart, you get people in to suit the needs of how you want the business to grow, and then you fit your org chart around that instead of the other way around. I was like, that was a kind of a penny drop moment about, you know, 6 weeks ago. And I love that learning and picking things up because you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, it's really good kind of saying, right, that's where we want to grow to. These are the kind of things we want to be doing. And these are the opportunities we want to be able to provide for people. So people are coming in and learning their apprenticeship opportunities. People can go, right, in 3 years' time, I am, you know, I'm a newly qualified tradesperson. In 3 years' time, 4 years' time, I want to be well on the way to being a project manager. Yeah. Right, okay, how do we help you get there? What courses do we need to get you to do? Mm-hmm. And we develop a learning plan for each person to get them to where they want to be. And say, if your mind changes, your mind can change. You're allowed to change your mind. Because I suppose traditionally things have been quite rigid. It's quite, you know, kind of growth trajectories are quite linear and they need to be, you know, you need to be this, 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 and this, and that's it. But it's like naturally as human beings, we're definitely not linear, you know? And it's kind of having that flexible approach where people can actually go, well, actually, this is what I would like to be, and start working towards it. And if you get to a point you go, mind you, that kind of, you know, been thinking about it, circumstances have changed, or I've learned something different that I'm really, really interested in, which is, like, you know, could be going to becoming a technical a trade manager, and they go, well, actually, I really like the finance side of things, and they want to move into, like, a finance role, then why can't that happen, you know?
So it's, and you facilitate that for them,
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, that's exciting, but it's kind of, just, it's not rewriting the rules or anything like that. It's just to hell with conformity. You know, it's like, let's let's be natural. Let's kind of how it should be, you know. Yeah.
Just to finish up, what would you say gets you out of bed in the morning, gets you along to here and puts a smile on your face?
It's seeing people get develop and grow. And that's... Two of the team have bought their first houses. One of the teams had their first child while they're working here. You know, we've got apprentices that are learning. We've got apprentices that are nearly qualified.
I get the feeling you celebrate these things together.
100%, It's great. You know, the doors open. It's like people's families can pop in and say hello. You know, the wee ones are coming in and running riot and like pulling all the decorations off the Christmas trees. But it's that kind of, yeah, it's just having that kind of how life is rather than boxing
everything. It brings me back to what you were saying at the beginning where things are really down to earth here. What you see is what you get.
Yeah, 100%.
You were talking about filling in those forms, you know, you're just being pretty straightforward because you're explaining what business you are and what you do, how good you are and what your track record is. So it's easier for you. Is that a fair
That's a good way of, yeah, that's bang on, yeah. Good stuff. Absolutely.
Well, listen, Ian, I'm absolutely delighted to have chatted with you today, and thanks to Seamus as well, who's no longer in the room, but it's good to have you and Seamus on the podcast, and thank you very much indeed for participating in Growth for Good.
No,
I know you're a supporter of the programme, and I look forward to doing more with you in the future.
No, that's ideal. And, you know, thank you very much for your time and for coming and talking to us as well, talking to me. And I have to say, I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. You can get more Growth for Good podcasts at Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and drewhendry.scot.